We ask now for our brother Jim, your careful and your prayerful attention as he brings to us the message. Jim?
Been a lot of miles since I was up here last. For the most part, I enjoyed my time on those miles. But I had some sad ones too. Trying to get information from what happens up here, down there, is next to impossible. And one day Jay was able to get something on his computer or phone or whatever it was. Said my wife was in the hospital. And I'm several thousand miles away. And because of the way the communication is there, we didn't get any more updates for about 4 days. And finally, we got some. We traveled from town to town to try to pick up news. Yobain doesn't have any towers of any kind, so you can't get any news like that. And finally got some news about her, and that she was doing pretty good. And then I got some news and my best friend passed away. Needless to say, I had a few days that was shot all to pieces. But for the most part, I enjoyed myself. I saw people that I hadn't seen for 25 years. And it was interesting how many of them remembered me. And some of them for reasons that you never would think of. One sister said, "Oh, yeah, I remember. Big hat." One brother says, "Yeah, he's a pastor of a local now." He said, "I was 16 when I saw you last. I didn't remember him." I don't remember where we had gone. We got back in about 10 o'clock, maybe 10:30 in the evening. And Placido's wife and three of his sisters and his brother was all sitting out back having a good time. Joey and we could hear them laughing and what have you. And everybody had walked into the house, and I was still out back, and I come in. And Jay was standing there, and he said something, and this girl jumped up and run over there and threw her arms around me and gave me a big kiss. He said, "You recognize her?" And I said, "No, I don't think so." Well, it turns out the last time I saw her, she was only about knee high. And she used to run and hide behind her mother's skirts every time Don and I would show up. She said, "Those white men are here again." Placido's youngest sister, Esmeralda. But I used to go in with a handful of hard candy, and I'd sit down in front of her mother and hold my hand out like that, and she'd come out behind, grab it, and run back in. But she speaks a little English. His brother speaks a little English, so We got by. But time takes a toll. Some brothers that I used to converse with a little bit in English haven't used it in a long time. And they've forgotten it. And some of them, they sit there and listen, you know, and you don't know what's going on up here or how much they're understanding of what's being said. But the last day that we was there, they had a priesthood meeting. And after that priesthood meeting, the one brother got up and walked over to me. He says, "God bless you," just as plain as anything. Now, I didn't know that he could speak any English at all or even understood any. But in preaching, I had to have a translator. Jay got stuck with that. So I don't know what he told him. At least he didn't throw any rocks at me after it was over with. But I don't have him standing here helping me this morning. But you're going to get the same sermon that I gave then. Miles and miles and miles apart. Down there, I preached this same sermon twice. Now, many miles away, I'm going to preach it again. In 1824, in all the world, there was only 36 churches. And I saw in 2006 in the paper someplace that we then had 33,800 different churches in the U.S. alone. All teaching a different gospel. So you might ask, how do we know we're in the right church? There's more than that now out there. And so to find out, we'll go to the scriptures. First Peter, first chapter, 25th verse. First chapter, 25th verse. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So there must have been something out there. James, first chapter, fifth verse, goes like this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and shall give him. And it shall be given him, excuse me. So there's a way that we can find out. 2 Nephi 14, verse 5, page 163. 14, 5, page 163. Wherefore, now after I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye did neither neither do you knock. Wherefore, if you are brought into the light, not brought into the light, excuse me, but must perish. So we need to know if the church there or not. Matthew 7:7-8. Matthew 7:7-8. And it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Telling us how we can find whether this church is here or not. We believe in an unchangeable God. It tells us that in Malachi, 3rd chapter. For I am the Lord, and I change not. If he is unchangeable, then the church is here today, just as he set it up. So we might ask ourselves, did he establish his church here on earth? Matthew 16:18. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Ephesians 5:23. Ephesians 5:23 tells us that Christ is the head of the church. And here we see that he did build his church, singular, not plural, his church. Jesus tells us in 3 Nephi 12:13-20. 3 Nephi 12, page 672. Page 672. Tells us what the name of the church should be. And they who were baptized in the name of Jesus were called the Church of Christ. And it came to pass that as the disciples of Jesus were journeying and were preaching the things which they had both heard and seen, and were baptizing in the name of Jesus, it came to pass that the disciples were gathered together, and they were united in mighty prayer and fasting. And Jesus again showed himself unto them, for they were praying unto the Father in his name, and Jesus came and stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, What will ye that I should give unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, we would that thou would tell us the name by whereby we shall call this church. For there are disputations among the people concerning this matter. And the Lord said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, why is it that the people should murmur and dispute because of this thing? Have they not read the scriptures, which say, You must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name? For by this name ye shall be called in the last day. And whosoever taketh upon him my name, endureth to the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Therefore, whatsoever ye shall do it in my name. Therefore ye shall call the church in my name. And ye shall call upon the Father in my name, and he will bless the church for my sake. And how will it be, my church, save it be called in my name? For if the church be called in Moses' name, then it be Moses' church. Or if it's called in the name of a man, then it is a church of a man. But if it be called in my name, then it is my church. If so, that it is built upon my gospel. That's a difference. Are all of those 33,800 churches teaching that? The same? Not a bit. 1 Corinthians 12:28. Tells us how he set up his church. 28th verse. And God hath set some in the church first, apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, and then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongue. And then Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 tells us practically the same thing. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. He's adding to it a little bit here, though. Different ways of the ministry can do what he needs to get done. Some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and in the household of God. And they are built upon the foundation of apostles, of prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In these last three scriptures, it tells us exactly how he built his church. No deviating. It says, first apostles. Not a pope. Not a president. Not a prophet. Not a rabbi. But first apostles. If you're looking for a church, you better find a church that's got first apostles in it. And go from there. Ephesians 4, 5 and 14. Ephesians 4, 5 and 14. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about by the wind of doctrine, the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie await to deceive. It's sad to say, in most churches out there today, nowadays, there's a lot of deception. And you wonder why. First place, they're not Christ's church. Second place, as I brought out in a previous sermon, they're teaching from Bibles that have whole chapters gone besides other scriptures throughout the book. They can deceive you easy then. They don't have to teach you the truth because they'll say, oh, in the Bible it's not there. Mosiah 9:54. Page 260. 9:54, page 260. And he commanded them that there should be no contention with one another, but they should look forward with an eye, having one faith, one baptism, having their hearts knit together in unity and in love towards one another. We haven't come to that yet, have we? When you look around the world, or the United States, or even maybe here in Phoenix, there's many different faiths, not just one. And as I said, their teaching is different. Most of them teach that you don't have to be baptized anymore. Just believe and you're saved. This is a teaching of man. It's not scriptural. Let's read in Matthew what Jesus has to say about baptism. Matthew 3:13-16. Matthew 3:13-16. When Jesus cometh from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him, but John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered him and said unto him, Suffer it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens opened up unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Some might still say that it's not important. But yet, when we read in the third chapter of John, 22nd verse, it tells us, Jesus and his disciples left and went to Judea. And there they tarried and baptized. If it wasn't needful, why? It's necessary. Jesus tells us here that baptism is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. If you read in Mark, you'll find out that Mark tells us a little stronger language. Mark 16:16. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. A little bit stronger language, isn't it? And as I kind of went through the scriptures, I'm not going to read them all. I'll give them to you if you want to look them up. We find several more scriptures with the same language, that it is definitely needed. You can find that in 2 Nephi 6:49 on page 108. 3 Nephi 5:35, page 634. Mormon 4, 86, page 712, and Ether 1, 115, page 725. When you read these scriptures, you can't say that it's not necessary if you've got an open mind and are truly looking, truly searching. In this church that Jesus set up, he taught many things. Among them was repentance and baptism, good works, and that we had to be converted and become as a little child, or else we couldn't enter into the kingdom of heaven. We can find that in Matthew 18:3 if you want to read it. Look it up later. And we know also that some churches, and I believe I said it already, not only teach that you don't need to be baptized anymore, but you don't have to have works. Good works. Well, once again, they stubbed their toe somewhere. They better go back and take another look. Christ said we do. They better read their scriptures because it makes it very plain that we have to have good works. Let's go to 2 Nephi, page 157. 2 Nephi 12:66. And even unto that great and last day, when all the peoples and all the kindreds and all the nations and tongues shall stand before God to be judged of their works, whether they be good or evil. Now, I understand that most churches out there don't read 3 Nephi. Nor 2 Nephi 12:66, 157. Did I read that already? I may have. He's going to judge the world by what's written and judge them of their works, whether they be good or evil, according to that which is written. So what's written down someplace, so it must be important. 3 Nephi 13, page 675, verse 2 and 3. 13, 2 and 3, page 675. For behold, out of the books which have been written and shall be written, shall this people be judged. For by them shall their works be known unto man. And behold, all things that are written by the Father, therefore, out of the books which shall be written, shall the world be judged. Now, if they don't want to believe those three scriptures, they can go to the book that they claim holds all the answers, the Bible. They can go to Revelation 20. 20, 12 and 13. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Important, isn't it? They can't get around that one because they can't say if they want to. They say, yeah, I'm a good Christian, so I believe that book. That's where it's at. Therefore, out of the books which shall be written, shall the world be judged. And every man shall be according to their works, you know. 13 says the sea will give up its dead, which were in it. Death and hell will be delivered up, the dead which are in them, and they shall be judged every man according to their works. There again. I don't understand how they can read these scriptures and say they don't need works. Somehow they must be blind. Either that or they just want to pick and choose what they read and delete the other. Like a lot of the books have already been deleted. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Verse 13. By the way, these are red letters in my Bible. Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to the life, unto life, and few there be that find it. You, there be that find it. Third Nephi, page 675. Third Nephi 13, verse 11. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended his sayings, he said unto the disciples, enter ye in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life. And few there be that find it, but wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leadeth to death, and many be that travel therein, until the night cometh when no man can work. Now that's just a little bit different wording than it found in Matthew, but it tells us the same thing. Jesus knew that all men were not going to enter into that straight gate. And he knew that all that found it was not going to stay there. They might hold that rod of iron for a while, but turn loose. Because of that broad and narrow way out there, looks a little broad way. Looks a lot better. The sounds out there, something different. And then it's going to fall away into that broad way and be lost. If we believe these scriptures, then we can find the path and learn how to get to the right church. If not, we've got to go back to square one, which we started in Matthew. The scriptures are plain and clear. There's no gray area. All we have to do is approach our searching with the true church of Christ, the church that he built with his gospel, prayerfully and with an open mind, God will lead us to the truth. If we can find it and understand it, why can't others? You know, I never finished high school. And a lot of these people out there got clear up into universities. Supposed to be smart people. Can't understand it. I can understand it. It's plain. It's there. All you need is an open mind. He tells us to seek and to knock, and it shall be opened unto us. If we seek prayerfully, with the intent of heart to find the truth, he will open our minds and give us the knowledge of the truth. John 8:32 tells us that, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But the truth is hard to find in the new Bibles of the day. So you have to have an open mind. And if you want to find the truth, you've got to find the right books, the right curriculum, or else you're not going to get there. Now in these two books, two witnesses, Scriptures tell us with two or three witnessing, all things will be proven. But in going through those two books, I found more than just two witnesses. And I know I didn't find them all, but I found 27 that tells us that God is unchangeable. So if he is unchangeable, and he said, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He built his church, and we're members of it. And we're few. And we'll always be few. Because of the teachings that are out there that prevail among the masses of the people. Alma 3:59 says, bring forth works of righteousness, and ye shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire. Thank you for your time.